But I know one thing, in one place I made a mistake. I really didn't witness to my parents like I should. I know for a fact that my dad was not saved, and now I have to wrestle with this in my conscience for the rest of my life of where he's at. And if you love somebody and you're telling somebody in this room you love them, and you won't tell them where they're going to end up, don't tell them you love them, because you don't. I got to sit here and face the fact that my dad is burning right now. And I had the chance to get to him. I had a chance to talk to him. I had a chance to pray with him. I had a chance to tell him everything that I know. I'm not saying it's all my fault, but I'm just telling you now. How can you sit here and tell somebody you love them and let them go to hell? So I told my Sunday school class today. Don't sit there and tell somebody you love them. You're lying to their face. You love them, you're going to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody how to get saved. Listen, what's going on? I don't have to go out there and give them the Romans Road and all this and that. But you know what makes a big difference? We have almighty people sitting in this church. Oh, yeah, I look good and this and that. And you go out there and you say all this crazy stuff and people are looking at you. They're watching every move you make and they're saying, oh, you call yourself a Christian and yet you talk that way? You're destroying, you're sending them people to hell. You're condemning them. They ain't going to listen to you ever again or your God. Go out there, oh, I look real good in church, I act real nice, and get out there and start doing everything crazy. You know what that's doing? You're destroying them. You're helping send them to hell. Your testimony is so important, the way you talk, the way you act. I mean, the things you do, if you call yourself a Christian, things got to be different. It's going to be different. Things are going to work differently. It doesn't just happen for a few people. It happens for everybody because there's a holy, just God living inside of you. It has to happen. I told Amy, I said, could you imagine for one second you turn your back on God changing you? I said, what's going to happen? Two things. You're going to repent or you're going to die. All these people out there saying they lived as a Christian for 40 years. Then all of a sudden they want to start living for Jesus. I'm sorry, you're a liar. I'm sorry you missed it. I'm sorry you didn't get it. Because Jesus is going to work and he's going to change some things in your life. You're not going to stay the same old person. It does not happen. If that's the case, then it goes everything that this Bible stands for. Everything.
If you live after the flesh, ye
shall die. That's for a saved person. So if you're out there and you're living for the flesh and you got a Christian name on yourself, you missed it. I'm just telling you, man. And you know why? I'm going to share this with you today. It's so perfect. It fits in great. But I'm just telling you, the rest of my life, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to battle with my heart, my conscience, knowing that I could have did something just a little different for someone that I say that I love. And now he's going to sit there in eternity and he's going to burn in hell for eternity. And I could have maybe said or did something that he would have went to heaven. And I didn't. That was hard for me. That is still hard for me. I came home and I got in depression second to none. Something I ain't ever been into that deep in a long time. And that just tore me out the frame. You ask my wife. She ain't never seen me cry the way I cry. Yes, I cry. Yes, I'm still a man. Yes, I can still take care of myself and my family. Yes, I shed tears. My father died. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. Broke my heart. It still breaks my heart. I came home and got in depression. I said, oh my gosh, I can't shake this. I can't shake, you know what? Excuse me, but I'm wearing my dad's shoes, the one he died in. That's what I have on my feet. I'm trying to find some closure because I'm just having a hard time dealing with this whole thing that I said I love my dad and I just let him go where he went. It didn't make any better effort. I'm doing anything on my part. Like I said, it's not all my fault. But how can we sit here and say that we love somebody and do nothing? How can we sit here and we say we love somebody and these church pews are empty with our family? That's, you know why? I'm gonna tell you why. Here, this is called this world. It's about the God of this world. It says, the God of this world, the devil has blinded the minds of Adam and Eve. He did so by tempting them with knowledge of this world and put doubt in their hearts about what God has said. This is where most people are today, filled with this world and not caring or believing what God has to say. Please turn with me to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to see here what the God of this world has done back in the Garden of Eden. Then I'll go into it from there. Genesis 3, 1, I'm going to read the first 6 verses and then I'll expound on that. Genesis 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord thy God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of the every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the trees were was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it unto her husband. And he did eat. Oh, how the devil does this to us. Subtle. Little things. One compromise after another. One small thing after another, until the point that we get ourselves into a mess and go, is God really there? Is there really a God? We start doubting what he has told us. We start doubting what he said. We start doubting his promises. Why? Because the devil's come in and put little things here and there into our heart, into our mind, and it's got us falling for the things of this world. I make compromises. I told my Sunday school class, I said the other day, I just had to text my wife and say, oh my gosh, Amy, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for the mess that I got myself into when it comes to you. Why? Because I was making decisions for myself and not for my wife, and God got all over me for that.
Amen.
I had put myself in first place. And I just tell you what, the Lord got mad at me. You know why? Because the devil just put little subtle things in there. Yeah, this would be okay. You know what? I compromised everything. I compromised my standards and everything else. And I said, oh, whoa, how did I get myself here? Those subtle little things that the devil, hey, it's okay, go ahead, you can do that. Oh, no, that won't work. Go ahead and do that. No, you're okay, go ahead and do that. And I'm just telling you, you know what? That's what the devil did to Adam and Eve. He came in there subtle and said, oh, it won't bother you. Go ahead. Just yeah, take a little bit. Take a little bite. It won't hurt you.
Won't.
Huh? It won't do enough. Do you realize that because of that, all humanity got the sin nature and all were condemned to hell because of one little subtle thing? How many family members do we have that are going to hell because we've done one little subtle thing in front of them and now it has destroyed any kind of witness or testimony we may have? How many?
Well,
that's what the devil of this world does. Let me continue on. In Matthew, the devil tried. Hear me. I know he did not get to Jesus, but hear me out before you judge me. In Matthew, the devil tried to blind the mind of Jesus with the things and the power of this world. Turn with me to Matthew 4:1, and I'll expound on this in a minute. This is, you know, the devil knew who Jesus was. Do you think he did not know who Jesus was? And yet what I'm about to read to you, he still tried to do. What makes you think he's going to leave us alone? The devil knew that Jesus was God. That's what he did. Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led up in the spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward of hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil taketh up the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of a temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up to a exceeding high mountain, and showeth all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse 9, they say, then all these things I will give to thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. There, right there, that's where human beings stop. We're done. We're going to take what he's offered us. How many of us before salvation have done that? He said, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. You can do this, you can do that. This will be fun, this will be this. And then next thing you know, you're down there and you're with him. You can't get out of it. You have no way out. I did it for 40 some odd years. I was trapped in that garbage. The devil made it look real good. Man, it looked real good at first, real good when I started getting into this stuff. I mean, he started blinding my eyes. My mother wasn't the type to ever bring us to a church. I never stepped foot into a church until I started going into prison. That's the first time I even heard of a Bible or seen one. Why? Because the devil had blinded my mother's eyes. He had blinded my family's eyes to anything for God. And you know what? What he was offering me looked really good. What I was getting at home was horrible, but you know what? With the devil, sin is good for a season. It looks good. You had fun in it when you first started. And then next thing you know, you're trapped and there's no way out. The devil's laughing at you. He ain't going to help you get out of it. I'm not going to help you get out of it. Then Jesus said to him, this is verse 10, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. But Jesus knew the word, and he used it. And this is why the devil does this to us. The more we compromise, the less we read, the less we pray, the less we care of the things of God. No wonder why people stay lost. The God of this world has blinded them. He's blinded them. Where are the things of God anymore? Where is it at? Where is everything that the Ten Commandments can't even be put anywhere anymore? You can't even say a Ten Commandment in school. I mean, my kids always come home and they're always saying how these little kids, their age, Autumn 6, who's going to be 10, and how they're just already at that age, they're already blaspheming, already using the Lord's name in vain. Oh, our parents don't want nothing to do with God or church. That's what they come home and tell me. The very foundation of America that was built on is now being thrown in the trash. Nobody cares about it anymore. And if they do claim to get saved, where's the holiness? Where's the call to being separate anymore? Where is this at? How come? Was there only a chosen few Baptists that can see this in the Bible? Can you not see? Can you not read? Or is it just the fact that you do not believe in King James Bible? The devil's got you like he had Adam and Eve. He's got you tricked. Oh, here, just take this little bit. Oh, you don't need it. God didn't say that. Yes, he did say it. He did call you to be holy. He did call you to be different. He did call you to live the way he wants you to live, not the way you want to live. He did say that in his word. How's that? That's what he said. Jesus said back to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And yet we compromise that all the time. Why? Because you let the devil blind your mind. You let him blind your heart. You let him put all this other garbage in front of you and you say, yep, I'm a Christian. This doesn't seem fitting to me. This doesn't seem, when I read this Bible and I look around at this world, I look around at this nation, and they call themselves Christian, they're a Christian nation, and they're Christian this, and I sit there and I read it and I compare it against this Bible, I go, how? Where? Where do you get that from? You know why people don't want a King James Bible? Because it changes them. They want nothing to do with something that's going to change them. The devil's got them comfortable right where they're at. Go ahead, stay comfortable. But I'm going to, you know what? You're going to stand face to face with Jesus one day. You're going to stand in that judgment. Two places, two things are going to happen. You're going to go to heaven or hell. Please. This warning is serious. Really never hit me as hard as it did until I lost my dad and realized, my gosh, he's not saved. That was a wake-up call for me. I'm going to go out there and I'm not going to, you know, try to shove everything down people's throat, but it makes me more aware. Oh my goodness. The devil's got everybody blinded. Even Christians, myself, blinded by how subtle things that he's put in my life. Oh, you can do this. God will let you do that later, this and that. Oh, the compromise. I'm just telling you now, what a horrible, horrible mistake. If God's not going to let a child of his compromise, not going to happen. If you're allowed to compromise, then you might want to check if you're really his. I'm just saying. There's things in this, there's people in this room that get away with things that I can never do again. There's things that I can do that you might not be able to do. There's things that my wife can get away with. There's no way in the world God's going to let me get away. Why? Because we're all his children. We're all his special children. Those who are saved. Don't let the devil in this world blind you. The people in this world allow their minds to be continually blind by the things of this world and not allow the words of God to have any effect on what and who they are. And therefore, God is not in their minds. Romans 1:21 says, because that they knew God and glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know what Jesus is? He's the light. So if you're in your foolishness, your heart is darkened, there is no light in you. You missed it. I may not be perfect. I don't always 100% live in the light. But I strive for that because I'm tired of the darkness. The darkness, you know, it ruined my life. I sat there the other day and I was just thinking of some things and I'm not going to say it out loud. I said, it's not happening again.
Amen.
Right here, it's not happening again. Hey, I love you people. I love your families. You know that. But you know what? Right here, it's not happening anymore. It's done. It's over with, man. I'm finished. I'm breaking the cycle in the Maury family right here. The people's soul are more important than anything that I could ever desire. They just are. This is a realization to me, people. This has become so, since my dad passed away, it's just become so real to me. So real. It's touched my heart, man. We read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, it didn't say the darkness of the glorious gospel, it said the light of the glorious gospel. There's light to that. It's changing. I mean, it's life changing. When that light comes into your life, it changes your life. You don't just sit there and stay the same. It changes you. Things are different. I forgot who sings it. The colored gentleman that comes to Old Time Baptist, he sings that one song. And he says, now the whole world has changed around. Since salvation, everything just looks so different. You see things in such a different light than you ever did in your entire life. And I believe that. Why? Because the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This world is the devil's kingdom. That's why he uses the things of this world to blind the people, saved or unsaved. You know, this is the devil's kingdom. This is his. This is what he does. You know what he uses? The things of this world to blind our eyes, to blind our hearts, to blind our minds. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rules or darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why? Because he's the prince, man. He's the one who's got everybody fooled. Everybody tricked. Oh yeah, that music's okay. Yep, you can go ahead and do that. Yep, go ahead and do it. And nobody wants to see anything God has to offer. How much darkness is in America and alone? I don't even say it about the other countries. People love darkness. And I'm not talking about the color darkness. I'm talking about just being bold, vile, disgusting. It's not even an issue for that anymore. I'm just telling you now, I'm just telling you, man, the darkness. It's blinded to people's mind to see the light. Just blinded. Why? They don't want to open that door to say, oh. I remember how scary it was, Amy, when God started showing us what we really were. That's a horrible place to be. But you would never think that you would thank God for Him to take the time to show you that.
Yeah,
and you will come to that point in your life if He ever shows you. He will. You'll thank Him for it. You come out the other side. I did a little number study. You know, I like doing number studies. The phrase, this world, is in the Bible 33 times. Get this. Now, I didn't know this until the other day. But the number 33 is used and almost worshipped by every Freemason and other occult in the United States. And I'm going to explain to you why. This world, Pastor, which is the devil's, 33, is used by every occult and Freemason. And here's why. That's something?
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence that 33 and the cults and all that worship that number 3. That's not a coincidence. That's just showing the devil has this world. And he's got their eyes blinded. But let me share this with you. They are blinded and tricked into believing that the number 33 has power. The 33rd parallel, to be exact. Let me explain. What is the 33rd parallel? The 33rd parallel north is a circle of latitude that is 33 degrees of the Earth's equatorial plane. It crosses Africa, Asia, the Pacific Ocean, North America, and Atlantic Ocean. The 33rd parallel circles the latitude that is 33 degrees south of the Earth's equatorial plane. It crosses the Atlantic Ocean, Africa, the Indian Ocean, Australia, and the Pacific Ocean in South America. They take everything. Now they have figured out everything of these things that I'm going to name. They relate everything from the first shots that were fired at the Civil War were at the 33rd latitude in North Carolina, South Carolina, one of those two, whatever one. It was on the 33rd parallel. Roosevelt dying, his house was built on the 33rd parallel. This is what the devil has got these. This is what they've figured out with this science. And they got their eyes blinded. They had their minds blinded by thinking that all this stuff is their power. Power given to them. And this is why they worship the 33. The Civil War. President Roosevelt dying. They also believe that Babylon was the first city built on the 33rd parallel. Also, Iraq and Baghdad are also located on the 33rd parallel. They all land on the 33rd parallel. And so therefore they take these cults, murder, war, death, they all relate to this number 33. This world is in the Bible 33 times. The devil is the prince of this world. And it's no coincidence that 33 relates to cults, this world, death, and so on. Of who? The devil is blinding the minds of the people. Even by taking something like that. Now, you think it's coincidence that this world, the phrase this world, is in our King James Bible 33 times. And who's the prince of this world? The devil. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't.
No.
Do you think it's a coincidence that the number 33 is reverenced and held such and so high to the Freemasons and other cults? Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't. God, Jesus knows. You think God doesn't know? It would take, I mean, could you imagine a computer trying to put all that together? And trying to, I mean, just, it's almost impossible to think about that. And here we go. This is in our own King James Bible. Just things that you really need to start just searching stuff out. It will floor you, the stuff that you find about it. I mean, it'll just knock you dead. Why? But you know what? The minds and the eyes of the people are blinded. The God of this world here, I'll offer you all this. You know what? Go ahead and take it all, because that's all you get. The next time you open your eyes and you die, you'll be in the flames of hell. How's that? How was your reward then? Was it worth it? Was anything in this world worth you dying and going to hell? Was it really? Because you can't take it with you. Everything the devil gives you here, you're going to leave here. You won't take that with you. You can't. It's not going to go to the grave. If it did go to the grave, you're just going to sit there and rot. It's not going to go to hell with you. You're not going to go to hell and party with your buddies and all that garbage. Everybody, I'll just go to hell and party with my buddies. Oh, you think so? Sad, sad day when people start saying that and it doesn't faze them. They sit there and say it like it's a joke. That's a sad day. Sad day. Sad. It breaks my heart that people would even think that. And I'm going to be done here in 5 minutes. I didn't think I was going to. And just about every verse that deals with the phrase this world, it gives us a warning or shows us what the world and the thing, who the things belong to. This is why Paul gets such a stern warning in Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why would he tell you not to be transformed by this world? Because it's not his. This is the devil's. And the devil's got your mind blinded. If you get your mind and your heart set off of the things of this world and set on the affections of the things above, the things of this world won't matter to you anymore. But everybody has it backwards. Well, let me get all the stuff of this world in my heart, my mind. Forget about heaven. That's coming later. You know what? Your life shows that's how you live. Your life shows that's what's in your heart. The things of this world mean more to you than the things of God. That your life shows that. I love when people try to hide stuff. I look at them and go, you really think you're hiding that? If I could just tell you what I really see, I'd love to just tell you what I really see. Because if I told you what you really see, it might wake you up. But then again, it might offend you, and you'll walk away like a little baby crying and pouting anyway. Go take a Prozac. That might help you. I'm just saying, people want to be tough old guys and tough this and tough that. You say one thing to them about something out of the Bible, and they get all crazy about it. Now, I am not a perfect person. I walk around here messing up just as much as anybody else does. But I'm just telling you this, I don't want to stay there. I have a drive in me that's telling me, get away from that, and let's go this way. That's what repentance is.
Amen.
Repentance is, get away from that thing there, and let's go this way. Here. Let's go this way. Hey, we have loved ones that are dying and going to hell today. Today. My dad got up that morning. He cooked his egg, brother, with 5 sausages every day, 2 pieces of toast. By the end of the night, him and his shoes were in a freezer. And now I got to live with the fact that just maybe, if I would have just said something different, just maybe, he would have heard something and got saved. Just maybe. I don't know. But that's not a chance I'm willing to take anymore. It's not a chance I want. Listen, I just told you this. I gave you this because me personally, myself, the devil tried to make me compromise. He tried to use these little subtle things in my life to get me to blind my eyes and my heart. And I'm just going to give you the warning. Don't let him do it. It did Adam and Eve no good, did it? It hasn't done anybody through all humanity any good. None. Not one equally. And it won't do you any good now. I'm done, Pastor.